Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the guests on this podcast are their sole responsibility and do not necessarily reflect the personal opinion of Letty and or Ash or those who collaborate with Dudas Media.
From the beginning.
Se regalan dudas nace de la infinita necesidad de cuestionarnos todo.
Todo lo que está a nuestro alrededor.
De dónde venimos y hacia dónde vamos.
Cómo tomar decisiones más informadas.
Tenemos tantas dudas que te las queremos regalar.
Soy Leti Sahagún.
Y yo Ashley Frangé. Y en este espacio invitamos a quienes saben y no saben tanto
de todo eso que tendríamos que estar hablando.
En colaboración
con Acast.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode in English. We are extremely excited that we're starting to do this. And we know that you've asked for more episodes with friends. We just had a recent episode talking about situationships and it's been the most listened to episode in our 5 years. Girl, what? In our 5 years, it broke every single record. That is how...
With who?
Rafa del Rio and Diego Alfaro.
Rafa.
But imagine how the dating world is going now that situationships was the most listened to episode in our 5 years. But this to say, it was us sitting down with two friends talking about things that happen in our daily lives. And I think that's why we wanted to do this episode, because we are in LA right now. We texted two really good friends of ours. And we were also trying to listen to your messages saying we've never talked about the lesbian world in this podcast. And there is so much to say that we wanted to invite two friends. One of them has a podcast called Made It Out. It literally talks about the lesbian beautiful world and all the struggles also of like the people that have come to the podcast. Another friend is one of our really close friends. We've known her for years. And we also know you have a beautiful story. So we're just very excited to be here today. Welcome to Alex Trieger and Mal Glow. It's so beautiful.
Glowinski.
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 Glowinski. But it is great last name.
Welcome to Se Regalan Dudas. We're super excited to have you here, girls, to talk about something we don't know, but we want to know.
Lesbians.
Tell us what you want to know. I'm scared that we're the mouthpiece.
We could be here all day.
I think the first question, I was listening to a podcast you recorded together, both of you telling your stories of when you actually realized you wanted to be with a woman. And my first question is, we grew up in a world with zero representation. More and more we see it nowadays, but growing up, there was only one way to think of ourselves as women and as girls. And the dream that we were sold since that moment was, you know, you marry a man, you build a house, you have the kids and the dog, and that is the only way we're going to be happy girls or happy women. So I want to know, because both of you are from America, there must be different things, but there also must be similarities. So what ideas did you grow up with? And at what moments did you realize I might not identify with this dream that has been sold to me?
You want to go for it?
I realized very young that I was not maybe the norm, just completely straight. I was, you know, playing house with girls and boys, and I always wanted to kiss the girls more than the boys. So I knew really young, but then I moved to a part of the country, Texas, where that just like was not even a thing. It wasn't discussed. It wasn't an option. So I started repressing my sexuality at a really young age. And I went the full way of, you know, being with men, owning homes with men, you know, picket fence, dogs, all of it. And until I realized this is not for me.
What was the feeling? Like, what was your internal talk as you're starting to realize, ooh, maybe the dream home with a guy isn't for me?
I don't think it was necessarily the gay thing that got me there. I think it was just a turning point where I realized I'm not happy. I have everything that I'm supposed to have. I have the house, the job, the car. I have all these friends. I have a great life, and something is not right within me. I'm still very depressed. And it took a pattern interrupt, getting out of all of that and essentially moving out of Texas and getting away from everybody that I knew and all of kind of the things that people knew about me, and being alone and in silo to figure that out by myself.
You haven't kissed a girl or anything before this moment?
I have.
You had? You had experimented before with girls?
It's so hard to explain. It's like, you know, but you don't know. You know that there's this thing that's different, but you don't really acknowledge it. And you just shut off to that side of yourself completely and go in the direction that everybody tells you to. But that part is always there, and it's always kind of whispering to you, like, hey, this is something. So I watched lesbian porn only. I was on Craigslist at a very young age, looking, women seeking women, like trying to find girls who were also looking for other girls to meet. When the opportunity presented itself to be with women or to hook up with women, I took the opportunity. But still in my mind, I never said to myself, I'm gay. It was never even an option. It was just, this is this thing that's there. And sometimes I lean into it.
Shut it down.
Exactly. But I think I've said this before, but I think when you're shut off to one part of yourself, you're shut off to every part of yourself. And so I was in careers that I wasn't happy with, friendships that I wasn't happy with. I was living a life that was so disconnected from who I actually am. And I think it all stemmed from being disconnected from my sexuality.
To understand, was it, why did you keep it away? Did you think it was something wrong, or did you see everybody else being happy and taking a path that didn't resonate with you? Like, what was it that made you think you had to hide it, or you had to cover it, or you had to, you know, go in a route that was clearly not making you happy? Like, what was the underlying feeling of all of this?
I think it's both. I think society in general just beats being straight into our head through everything we see. Even growing up with straight parents, it's all we ever see.
Right. And every movie, every TV show, every love story that grew up with,
And then everybody you're around. And then when I moved to Texas, that's a pretty conservative part of the country. So it was very much like, what church do you go to? And, you know, then you're like, oh, fuck, like, this is what everybody here believes. I better just get in line or else I'm not going to fit in. And then you start to conform. And I was so young. I was 7 when I moved there. And the first question people would ask me is, what church do you go to? And then you go to church and you're hearing gay people go to hell. And then you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Like, if I ever let this out of the bag, this is not going to be good. Mm-hmm. So it's a total... you're not conscious when you're doing this. You're just pushing things off to the side, and you're living life the way everybody says that you're supposed to live it. But I think that's only sustainable for so long. Eventually it beats at the door and it's like, this is not right.
Love that. I want to go deeper, but I also want to hear Alex's, because I know it's a very different story.
Yeah, different. I like to say, like, same, but different, because Mal and I are so alike, but obviously there's a lot of differences in our story. I'm from a suburb of San Francisco, which is like gay capital of America. So there's a lot of acceptance and it's very progressive, but you didn't see lesbians. Like, I didn't see lesbians. And one thing you mentioned was... whether you get to, like, live this American dream that we've all been sold, or you decide to take a different path and become a lesbian. But what do you do when you still crave that dream? Like, it's not like one or the other. I'm not someone who came out and is like, fuck marriage. I don't want to get married. I don't need kids. I'm going to live completely alternatively. No, like, I still want those things. Like, I still want to live this life that I've pictured for myself. It's just a little bit different in this way. And I think that's something that still you kind of have to deal with, or like excavate inside of you. It stems back to a lot of internalized homophobia where you're like, I still want this life where I get married. I still imagine myself having a wedding. I still imagine myself being a mom and having the family, but it just wasn't working with me and men. And so how do you still get to have all of those things? And you do. So I think the classic idea of like, now you're a lesbian, you don't need to get married, you don't need to have kids, is like not quite right for me, at least. There's plenty of lesbians who are like, I don't need all that, which is great, but still feeling like you get to have all those things as well.
So it was maybe more the fear of you thinking, if I choose this path, I'm not going to get all of these things I wanted. So I better like stick to this line where I am for sure going to have the possibility.
And also my parents' biggest fear, I would say, like coming from a more progressive family, of course, they're like, yeah, you know, but the first thing my mom said to me when I came out to my family over pizza at a restaurant was, oh, honey, we're modern. Like it was OK. Like I knew it would be OK and they'd be accepting. But what actually came up a few weeks later was all this fear of like, but I wanted this life for you. Like, I want you to have kids. I want you to be in love and be married and have what I've had. You know, I want this life for you. And that was the big fear. But I was like, Mom, like, I can have that. Like, it's the beauty of being in, you know, this modern time where that still exists for us.
I met you when you weren't... lesbian. You were a lesbian, but you weren't in a lesbian relationship. I don't know how to say that appropriately.
I joke like when I was straight. Obviously, that wasn't true.
When you were straight,
I was living a straight life,
a very straight life. And how did you knew? I know from the times we hang out during that period of time that you were struggling a lot with. I remember you and I talking about wanting a relationship, wanting a serious boyfriend, but gravitating more towards more casual dating, more hookups and stuff like that. And I remember we like used to talk a lot when we watched those horrible what they're called, that reality TV at Jonas.
Yeah, love it. Still love it. Still
exactly.
Love all the trash TV.
That didn't die me a lesbian. How did you figure out, like, I'm curious about your journey from being like this, or at least in my mind, you were like this free, like sexual woman. And like all the men were always looking at you. You were always like that person. And like, and then seeing you now in this beautiful relationship you have, I'm just curious, not only as in the podcast, but as a personal friend, like what was the internal walk towards that?
It's difficult. We've spoken about this a little bit, but like I definitely think that there is something that happens, especially with, maybe if you're struggling with, there's a lot of lesbians who just know that they're lesbian and they do not want to have sex with men, or even if they do have sex with men, it's like they hate it. Like, it wasn't the case for me, so it's a little bit trickier to figure it out, essentially, because you're like, well, I can do this, like I don't know, like what's the problem here. And I think there is something with being a bit promiscuous, or like, you know, getting to this age where you can, you know, hook up with people, or you're dating and having casual encounters, especially younger and in college and those kind of experiences. And there's something with not being your full authentic self and feeling a disconnect and having, like we've talked about, like a void, and you're filling it with certain things. And I think definitely a craving of love and affection was something I struggled with. And a lot of those experiences, I was seeking for just love and affection through these casual encounters, and it wasn't happening. It would never fulfill me. It would never feel good at the end of the day. And I know a lot of people can relate to that, whether they're straight or gay. Yeah. Doesn't matter. And it was until I cut that off, before I even came out within myself, to myself, that I had to cut that off, because I knew it was not serving me. And it wasn't even like, oh, I was like really, you know, hooking up with people every week. It was just that, like, okay, the casual thing isn't what's fulfilling me. I want a relationship at the time with a man. And I know I need to stop all this and stop engaging in these casual behaviors with men who clearly didn't give a shit about me. And once I stopped that and then started doing a lot of internal work, I know we relate on this a lot, it wasn't until then that it all started unfolding. And it took like a year of this unfolding process, even before I came out to myself. Like, it was a spiritual journey until I was able to just even scratch the surface. So kind of like this spiritual awakening, I like to say, led into like the gay awakening. But it took like a whole year. I don't know. It was like just deep self-exploration. And that's why I say coming out is so much more coming in. It's like an inward journey. You have to come into yourself and things start opening up naturally.
It forces you to kind of pick apart everything that we've been told we're supposed to like and really question, like, who am I? What is my authentic self? Which is a hard thing to do, but it forces you to face that square in the eye and kind of do that digging to figure out who you are.
And honestly, do that digging whether or not you're going to find out you're gay in the end. Like, you know, it's like I didn't set out on the journey being like, I need to figure this out. I feel like I'm gay. No, I mean, now looking back, I'm like, damn, you were pretty gay.
Duh.
Like, why was I making out with girls in high school? Like, I kissed a girl. Like, I don't know. There was a lot of signs. But, yeah.
I wanna hear more from the two of you about this coming in thing. I know you've said before that you don't like the terms coming out and it's more about coming in, but what was it like realizing yourself you were gay first and then telling the world? Or was it a big process? Was it did it feel peaceful? Did it feel weird at first? Like, what was that internal? Because I feel like a lot of people that might listen to this can be in either side of this journey that we've talked. Maybe they're trying to fill a void. Maybe they've had signs and they've didn't want to hear them. Maybe they know, but there's also a lot of internal homophobia, not only coming from outside. So I also want to know if you guys within yourselves encountered that denial at first. I don't know. I want to hear more about like the internal processes that we barely hear people ever talking. Like, we usually see someone in their straight life and then they're like, and this is the relationship I'm at now
in the trenches. You want to know about the trenches.
And I'm like, but to help people out, what if we actually talk about every single question, doubt, fear?
I have a friend that once told me that the biggest struggle was I didn't want to be a lesbian. Like, I just didn't want to be a lesbian. She was like, I now that I'm a lesbian, I'm like, oh, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. But in that moment, my struggle was like, I know that I'm lesbian, but I don't want to be one. So just adding to Letty's, just adding it to Letty's 20 questions.
It sucks that the word has so much power. Like, I didn't like the word lesbian. I'm still unpacking that, you know? It's like, I don't want to be a lesbian. It just sounds so weird. I don't know. But
when you start to face what we've been taught that we need to like, what we've been taught we need to gravitate toward, which is men, and this is what we need to follow, worship, you know, whatever. And then you start to unpack that and you're like, you start to realize, I don't need the attention. I don't need the validation from men. So now you're looking at the world kind of more of an objective view and you're going, okay, hold on. Actually, this is trash.
Yeah.
And then you do get mad because you're like, we are living in such a patriarchal world. And so I think you do get pissed off. And you're
Almost our existence as women, what we were told was to please the eye of a man. And you're like, this is why I exist?
Right. Yeah. And then you strip that away. And then you start to see things and you're like, wait, wait, wait. And it does make you mad. You are fucking angry. So I think a lot of these stereotypes, like, okay, they might be true, but I'm so proud of that. And I love that. And you can look, I think the looks thing is so.
Do you remember that one time we were out at a bar? Mal joined our group like a year.
2 years.
2 years after? Okay, so 2 years after. So, of course, there's this new girl in the group who's like my fucking twin. We were having the best time. So we go out to a bar and she comes and you're in these heels that you're like clearly so uncomfortable. And I was like, Mal, you don't have to wear these heels anymore. Like, what are you doing? Like, you don't have to. And your face was like,
I remember that night.
You were like, wait, I don't? Like, and wear the heels. I still wear, I'm wearing heels today, but like for me, you know, but like it's a different, it's kind of like just a different energy. It's like we're stripping away all that we've been taught, all that we've done to look a certain way, to be a certain way for the gays, for the male gays. And now it's like, wear the fucking sneakers.
Yeah.
I think that's what's great about Gen Z. They're all about like sweats and sneakers. I'm like, I really relate.
The lesbians have been on this forever.
I know.
Gen Z is copying us.
Lesbians already knew.
Wow. So was it different when the journey was to go inward versus telling the world or showing the world? Like, I'm thinking when you say you had to get out of Texas to find yourself, or when you're saying you gave yourself this full year to like dive deep, like what did that look like? How did it unfold?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, I was a producer at BuzzFeed Tasty, which is where, also one thing you mentioned was kind of like you had all these things of like, you weren't happy in this, you weren't happy in this. I had so much going for me. Like my career was booming. Like there was so much activity, you know, going all the time. And like the one thing that I couldn't figure out was relationships. And it was like failed relationship after failed relationship. And I was like, what is going on? Like, I think that's why I like am a bit woo-woo. And my energy just would go all towards figuring out love and relationships. And in the meantime, career just was kind of like taking off, because I was like, it was just kind of came naturally to me. And I was just, you know, doing what I loved and like sharing silly videos online. And so when things were so great and everything was working in that way, like nothing was working in love. And I was like, how do I figure this out? And so love for me was like the big catalyst of like, this is why I need to do work. I feel like everyone has something where they're like, okay, I can't figure this out, and I need to just dive in to figuring it out. And, you know, whether that's like realizing that you're engaging in certain patterns, and you start to look back and you're like, everything looks the same. Like all the guys just started looking like emojis or like Sims. I don't know, that everyone was the same. And I was like, it was like an energetic person with a different face. And I was like, what? This is a little bit weird. Like, and I wasn't spiritual at the time all that much. So then I just started to kind of like open up in that way, and everything in my life was changing, and I had just quit my job, and so I was home all the time with nothing to do, like essentially. And it was just like so much change, and then, you know, so much inward work that just started to unfold. And so I spent that whole year kind of diving into that and getting into spirituality and all of this, but still wasn't out to myself. And then the pandemic hit, I moved home, and just to be with family, and I spend time there, because, you know, I was like alone in a one bedroom apartment in LA. I was like, why am I going to stay here? And then in my childhood bedroom, after this year of spiritual discovery, I was journaling, and then I started to have all these like little flashbacks in my room, and I could picture myself, because it was the same bedroom I had grown up in. My parents never moved. So I could picture my little self like having these feelings of like, maybe I'm gay, or like, I think I'm gay. And then just like the feeling of suppressing it immediately. Like you just feel it. It feels like a thought comes in your head, and then you're just like, shove it down. Like truly, truly suppressing. And those moments and memories, it's no mistake that I was home journaling in my same childhood bedroom, you know, and the divine timing of it all. But again, like I've talked about on your podcast, if like it can happen for you once your like nervous system can hold it, when you finally are able to face it without it being so overwhelming that you just have to suppress it. Like when you're safe enough in yourself, when you're safe enough in your location or wherever it is, when you're just safe enough, then it can, you know, kind of start to come out.
Because for so many people, the even thought of questioning sexuality puts them in such a dangerous place, right? Not only
fight, flight, freeze,
everything. And like so many families are like completely homophobic and like without even realizing, like, right there, everyone's like, no, I love gays, until your son is gay and you're fucking freaking out in the middle of the living room. But I love that what you say, because I remember the only other episode that we have about talking outside of the closet is this person, a friend of ours, was telling us that only when someone was like, hey, it's okay, that he realized that, oh, is it? It like, what? And he was like, I hang on to that thought for years of like, that is okay. So my question was, did you experimented with the idea for a long time of like, what happens if I'm gay? Like, what was those days between you suppressing it and like now having this safe space? And I would like to know both of these. Like, what was the day you came out? And I say it with like a quotation, because I mean, I know like a lot of people are like, please like stop saying coming out. But like, when was the first day you admitted it to someone? Like, hey, I'm gay.
Well, I also didn't walk around. I think you are the same, like maybe, but I didn't walk around feeling like I'm closeted my whole life. You know, I wasn't like, oh, this is something that I've been keeping a secret. I like genuinely hadn't slowed down enough to even think about that myself, you know? And it wasn't until this moment where I was at home in my childhood bedroom when these memories were flooding back, not even flooding, like one at a time, boom, like a little like lightning strike. So like little memory here. And then when you're like, okay, I'm going to like start thinking about this, and they come more often, you know? But then it's like, I wasn't feeling like, oh, I'm closeted and I can't speak about this. It was like until I was ready. And, you know, I think that's the beauty of kind of being a little bit older when that happened, is that I felt like the second it happened, I was like, I'm gonna switch my dating profile. Like, you know, again, yeah, I'm a very free spirit. Like you said, the beginning, like that's not something that was not me. I was just like in the
you were in the wrong pool. Yeah, exactly. You were in the wrong pool. But at the wrong bar, girl. You were at the wrong bar.
Wrong bar.
What about you?
I had to get away and be alone. I think that's the difference, is I was so influenced by the outside world. And my parents are from Chicago, like very progressive family, but I was raised by the culture so much. When your friends,
your
everyone
school,
around you.
How can you not be?
Yes. And that was what kind of told me, suppress, 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 get rid of this. And when I moved away from Texas to LA, I had no idea I was moving to figure out my sexuality. It was just, this is, I have to get away from whatever this is. And when I moved to LA, it was the first time that I started toying with the idea of, no one here knows me, maybe I could switch my app. Mm-hmm. I went on several dates with men. I slept with several men when I was here. And I remember it vividly. One day I'm sitting on my couch and I'm like, no, I'm not going to do seeking women and men anymore. It's going to be only looking for women. And I went on a date with one girl. It was the most nervous I've ever been in my life. I took 4 shots of vodka at the bar.
Vodka.
Down the street.
Oh,
God. Honestly, I'm a vodka girl.
You are?
I
can't
like,
say that in this podcast.
I know.
You gotta pretend.
Now I'm tequila, but back then I was like
straight male with vodka.
Vodka has been ruined for me for college. College? No, I can't even look at vodka.
Vodka is any type of juice, like cranberry, pineapple,
oh, don't worry.
Juice.
I like pineapple, but orange, fuck a screwdriver. Like, screwdrive, like, that belongs to men. Screwdrivers are in the toolbox.
My God.
Keep that in the toolbox, bitch.
4 shots of straight vodka, no juice.
Ew.
I went on this date, and I had a complete, it was like, oh.
Wait, so that was the first date with a woman ever? Like,
yeah,
for you?
It was my first, like, actual date with a woman. And I was freaking out. I went outside my house. I walked down the street. I went to a bar. I took 4 shots of vodka. And I was freaking, panicking about who pays. And how do I flirt with a girl? Like, how do I show I'm interested? All of the very gendered questions that you have when you're first starting to date women. It's like, who does what? And that's, like, scary. And so I go on this date. We talked all night. It was... I tell this story. It's very awkward because then we're standing in front of my... She goes to drop me off. We're both standing in front of my apartment building. And we just stand there for like 45 minutes talking. And I'm like, this is so awkward. Like, do I invite her up to my house?
Is anyone
like,
going to kiss anyone?
No, like, I don't know. This is day one lesbian. I have no idea. We go up to my apartment and we're sitting... I have an L-shaped couch and she's sitting on one couch and I'm sitting on the other couch.
What?
I know. It's so awkward. But I wasn't going to make the move. So,
I mean, why not?
I was too nervous. I was too scared.
Okay, she was just coming out.
I hadn't even gone out yet. Give me a break. And nothing happened that night. We didn't even kiss. But when she left, I was like, fuck, this is definitely
But
the
you were
thing.
Into it.
I was into it, yes. Yeah. It was my gay panic
But you were
moment.
Just scared.
I think we all go through like a gay panic moment where we're
100%.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, like this is what has been this missing piece.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And I was not ready to intake that.
You know, it's a lot at once. That's why it's like, it has to go in stages. Like you can't overwhelm your system.
Like, I think there are there are a lot of similarities in each process. Yeah.
You can't just jump in head first sometimes. I mean, I like to do that a lot. I think sometimes that's not so great for the psyche. Maybe you should slow it down.
Guys, I have this question and you have to tell me about the sex.
I've
read and heard so much. It started with We Can Do Hard Things.
Yes,
I heard
it.
This like
love
full
Lennon.
Episode of like
honestly
lesbian
Reading Untamed was a big
dude
a big factor in
this was like here when
we were going to start.
And you read that book and didn't become a lesbian?
Like, girl, I was...
Honestly, yeah, good for you.
She came to our podcast. She came to our
podcast. I know. I listened to that. I listened to all her stuff. But my friend, when I was struggling, was like, you should...
That's how it happened for you? I was like, oh, wow.
Okay. Such a beautiful book. But anyhow, I was listening to one of their episodes with a sex therapist, and they were saying all of this data of how sexual satisfaction is so much better, like higher in lesbian couples. And I was just wondering, like, how was it switch from to having sex with women? Like, is it that much better? Is it because we know our bodies better? Is it because there's better communication?
Without the communication, come on, or get real.
I think it can also be because there's not one person thinking about their pleasure only. Yes. Like, you might actually be aware that there's someone else in bed.
Women innately, like, we're like, we want to please, we want to take care of, nurture.
I want to add a question. And do you miss, like, the penis?
You know what? There is a whole world out there. You do not have to give it up. Exactly. I'm telling you, I didn't know what a strap-on was before I became a lesbian. I didn't know. I didn't know anything about the life. I didn't know lesbians existed. I didn't know anything, which is crazy. I don't know why.
Mom clearly knew, because all of the lesbian porn probably gave you all the insights.
I didn't go down that route. But, like, oh my gosh. Like, as someone who has enjoyed sex with men, you're like, okay, well, what does that leave me? I'm not going to be fulfilled sexually. There's plenty of ways to be fulfilled sexually, by the way, but like strap-ons, like, I mean, there's a lot of like narrative about, I feel like some people don't relate to it, or like, you know, it gets too heteronormative. But if you are someone who enjoys something, like, there's definitely something for you. Yeah. And it's fun. It's fun to explore.
I mean, the numbers are there. That's why I'm asking this question.
The numbers are there. Yeah. I had one orgasm with a man before I started sleeping. What? One.
Actually,
in how many years of having sex?
I started having sex when I was 16.
One so 16, orgasm.
I started having, and when I, yeah, one orgasm. And then I started sleeping with women, and I found out the problem was not me.
I think in my mind, like, I could have sex with men and, like, maybe it's probably not great, but, like, disassociate in my mind and just, like, be in my own fantasy or something.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, I, like, definitely. And, you know, like I say, like, we kind of talked about this before. It's interesting when you're like someone, I mean, again, with like labels, I've never really related to like being fully a lesbian or bi. I don't really know. I just am someone, again, who's free. I don't really like labels ever. Even in my career, like, I don't really box into one thing. So it's never felt that genuine to me. I see myself with women just because of now an emotional connection. But like, what do you do if you have enjoyed sleeping like with men, if you've like been able to? And this is not on men's performance, by the way. It's more like disjointed, but yeah. I don't know, there's like hairy gray areas that like aren't talked about as much, because when you're a lesbian, a lot of the times it's like you're not a good enough lesbian or like full enough lesbian, unless,
but then
you're
again,
like, I now like, what's the word, like, reject all.
I denounce.
Yeah, I denounce.
I denounce.
Yeah. I denounce everything that has ever been in my past. I don't know. Like, it's,
but then
it's
again, we're doing a disservice to ourselves, because you're moving from one label to another label, like, or you're moving from one box to another box. If you're pretending to just be a lesbian like this, or even like the label, like you said, what if I'm just, you know, where I'm at and loving what I'm loving right now,
and
we just don't know. Yeah.
There's something for everyone.
Yeah. I think it's an important conversation. I would say I work in extremes. So I went from like being completely hetero to completely lesbian. I hate men, fuck men, you know, whatever. But recently I've been very aware of the importance of checking in with yourself and saying, like, could I ever entertain sleeping with a man again? For me, I genuinely don't think I could. I always come back to no. Like, I feel in my truest self and living my truest existence when I am with a woman. But I
which
think
is okay.
I think it's a fluid conversation, though. And I think that is something, like, to your point, how the labels, like, lesbians want you to label yourself as a lesbian. It's easier easier when we fit people in categories.
Yeah.
But it's important to kind of question those things, even if you always come back to the same answer.
Well, maybe it's like, the the physical versus the emotional, again, like that conversation, because it's like, okay, you're talking about dating a man again. I just don't know, after the depth of like connections I've had with women, if I could feel fulfilled. But if we're talking about straight physical, yeah, probably could.
It's crazy, I mean, what you say about like the connection that we have with women, because the level of depth,
yes,
in my women connection, I've only been straight my entire life. I've had multiple opportunities to be with a girl, and I just never felt like, I just never felt inclined to, but I absolutely identify like the intimacy of, and the depth of the like the relationship I have with Ale that's standing here, with Letty. Like, those are hard places to reach with men. Mm-hmm. Overall, like, either you're a lesbian, you're queer,
arguably,
whatever.
You can't.
Arguably, you can't. So I totally understand why someone that is seeking for a deeper connection can, like, literally gravitate towards women, where, like, most of us are trying to do the work. Most of ours crave relationships and intimacy. I wanted to ask you, do you guys grieve anything from that life of being a straight woman that you've lost? Is there any grief? And what has been, like, the best surprise being in a lesbian relationship? Not because it doesn't matter if you're in a relationship. Being lesbian.
I definitely do. I think it's not talked about. It's like, it's something that's, you know, maybe hard to talk about, but it's important to, because like that's such a part of the journey. Again, coming out is in stages, it's unfolding, it's ever unfolding. And the one thing that's really big for me that I still grieve is the opportunity to have kids with my partner biologically. It's huge. And I'm sure a lot of people out there are like, that's what I will never give up. And that's, you know, it's fair. It's also like ingrained in us. It's biological. There's so much with that. There's a beautiful thing to see both of your partners reflected in a child. The one thing that I always come back to, of course, you know, aside from being in love and wanting to be with this person that I've chosen and has chosen me, but the one thing that I come back to is you never get a guarantee, whether you're straight or whether you're gay. Like, you do not get to dictate how your life unfolds. And you can have a kid with a person and you're like, this is great.
And never see them again.
Exactly. Never see them again. Maybe they die, unfortunately. And, you know, a step parent has to come in. Maybe they literally are a deadbeat parent. Maybe you get divorced in an awful divorce and have to share the kid. You never know.
Or maybe you can't get pregnant.
Maybe you can't get pregnant.
And you are going to have to go through the same medical process that a gay couple will have to go through.
Just because you're straight does not mean that you get that guarantee. So that's one thing that I'm like, oh, like, no one gets that guarantee. And yeah, our story, our life is going to be different in the way we bring in kids. We already know that going in, but there's people, you know, who are straight who don't know that going in, but that's going to be their life, you know? So it's like, that's one thing that kind of gives me peace in that, because it is a little bit hard. It's like, stings a little bit. You're like, oh, I want, you know, you want to see the product of your.
Yeah. I got to be honest. I think I lived such a straight existence that I tried so hard to like want that life. I tried so hard to go down that path and really commit to it. And now that I'm on the other side of it, I'm just like, whatever comes with this, I'm so much happier and I'm so much more myself. And so I don't know. I mean, I guess I haven't really explored that thought as much.
Well, I'm still, you know, genuinely happier and so much more myself, but it doesn't, I think the piece of it is that it doesn't just wipe away there's still going to be things you have to, you know, again, grieve, or like things that pop up, whether it is, you know, the kids thing. Even if you don't want kids, it's going to be like, okay, like you're grieving the family you might have lost in this, or the friends you might have lost in that. But like, there is so much more to gain if you are living your authenticity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no price for authenticity. I wanted to ask you both. Well, Mal, you've heard at this point, I don't know how many stories of coming out, because that's what girls come to your podcast to talk about. Have you found any, I know every single story is different, but any similarities? I'm thinking right now for the people that are going to listen to this episode and maybe try to find themselves here or in anything they listen to. Like, what have been the biggest lessons if you had to put together all of the stories that you've heard?
No. That's a big question.
Or what's one thing everyone that comes to your podcast shares? Like, is it a moment of bravery? Is it a friend coming in and saying, like, you're like, don't worry about it? Like, what is that makes, if maybe like not only a pattern of like coming out, but like if all the stories are so different, what is like one common denominator that helped people reach more of their authentic self?
And is there always light on the other side? I think that's also something that would be good to know for everyone that's struggling to even saying out loud, or like, is there always the sense of I'm finally here, or I finally...
I feel like eventually.
Yeah, eventually. It's tough.
It's not like maybe immediate. But.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, we all have very different situations. Yeah. And for some people, this is extremely heavy and in some cases, life-threatening.
Yeah.
So it can, I don't know that I can necessarily speak for those people. But what I can say is in the conversations that I've had and in my own experience, following your gut and being true to your authentic self and being so in tune with who you are is always going to lead you to the right place and lead you to what is meant for you. And I think that would be the through line, is that on the other side of coming out, I constantly hear, I'm so much happier and I feel so much more myself and like in my home, in my body, and in my truth. And it's a long path to get there. It takes a lot, and the path looks different for everybody.
Yeah, and there's prices. Like we were just before recording, for whoever's listening, we were saying we're all so fortunate to live in a place where gay people are even celebrated. And whoever you are, it's not even a conversation. You find safe spaces that celebrate who you are, who you love. But we do know that is not the reality for people around the world. Sometimes the most dangerous place to be is their own family. Sometimes the country persecutes you for loving who you love. Like, of course, right now we're having fun and talking between friends, but we know that there's also a lot of privilege in our end to be where we are at, you know, to everything. Like, there's so many intersectionalities that cross us, and we are very privileged to, you know, even live where we are. But if you had to say something to your younger self, and I would ask you in this moment to take yourself to the moments of fear, the moments of anguish, the moments of I have to shove this information, or I can't be this that I'm feeling, or what would you have liked to know back then?
I would have liked to know. I think we can relate on this, in that one of the most beautiful things about coming out, aside from living your authentic truth and finding a partner and being in love, was the community that came along with it. And I think there's a very universal experience of after coming out, then you're kind of like isolated in your queer group because you just connect so deeply. I think one thing you asked was like, what is the through line with a lot of the coming out stories? And I think there's a through line in that we have all had to do deep inner work and go against the grain and reject American ideals or societal ideals, wherever you're from, to get to where we are at. And you connect and bond on that. You can't not. So it's just natural to want to be around that and to just feel that camaraderie. And, you know, yeah, there's just, you have to have done a lot of deep inner work, like, you know, to be there, to be openly out and proud and vulnerable. And so there's just already this baseline of that you can connect to. But then again, just having this beautiful queer community of people who are so loving and so bold and courageous and have so much insight, and you can have incredible conversations and learn something every day and just have these incredible connections. You know, there's just depth. There's a lot of depth. And, you know, on the other point we have been touching on is that, you know, my girlfriend is Persian. She comes from Iran, which is a, you know, country where it's illegal to be gay. And, you know, the importance of that representation and why I make cooking videos specifically making Persian food and showing our relationship and being very open about it is because we get hundreds of messages, thousands of messages from people in Iran, from people throughout the Middle East or throughout these different in these different countries where it is illegal and punishable to be openly gay and out in that it is their only shred of hope. And it just keeps you going. And you have to feel like there is room for change and that there's possibility in, you know, in all of these scenarios and in people's lives. And it is not safe for everyone to come out. And it is not the best idea for everyone, unfortunately. But if you, you know, do have, you know, the luxury of being somewhere, and I call it a luxury because it is, to live in a place where it is not punishable by jail or death to be gay. And, you know, there's going to be things that you might have to give up, whether it be family or friends or just, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, it is such a blessing at the end of the day to have that ability to live your true life. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if I could have told my younger self something, it would have been to follow your gut, even when the entire world is telling you like this isn't right or normal or correct. When you're so deeply connected to what you want and who you are, the right things are going to come and the right people will come. And the people who are supposed to fall out of your life will too. And that's a hard thing to accept. You lose people in the process, but you gain the right people too.
You know, we hold value over certain people in our lives because we're told. But like if your parents are not able to actually accept you as you are, then they can't truly love you. Like, There's a harsh reality of it too, of like, is a friendship or is a, you know, a family relationship in which they cannot accept you and cannot love you as you are and make you be a certain way, like that is not true love. That is not love, you know? So kind of the acceptance of that and then moving forward into, can I find real love in my life, whether it be through friendships or through another person which you're in partnership with, through community?
I think the answer is yes. And I think that's why there's so much emphasis put on this chosen family aspect of the gay community, because it's all of these people who you have some sort of baseline connection with, like, oh my God, you've been through this too. We've gone through this too. And there's just an understanding and a love there that my family couldn't understand. Because they haven't been through it, you know?
My last question to both of you, if there's any girl out there right now listening to this podcast and something sparks in them, in their gut, what would be something you wish you knew to experiment? I'm not saying because the decision comes after, right? And it's a very inward decision, but the exploration should be something we all are free to do, right? Eventually, 100%. Hoping, like, I find it so limiting, the idea that someone told me, you're straight. And I never got to experiment. I'm happy where I'm at, but I'm hoping that if any day I ever get a gut feeling to experiment, that I'm free to do it, regardless of the final decision that will come from it, right? So, like, what would be something you would tell a girl, younger girls or older girls, doesn't matter, that might feel the need to experiment?
Or older women. We were just talking before about, like, 50, 40, 60 year olds that are starting to question their sexuality. No.
I have this beautiful, a beautiful friend in my family. And she told me, she's probably in her 50s. And she told me, I wish someone told me being lesbian was an option. And she was like, I didn't even get the options of it. So about that exploration, like, what would you tell those people that might be inclined to, like, I want to explore my sexuality?
Well, first of all, we are in a society that is obsessed with the final destination. It's all about the final destination. It's like work, final destination, career, money, love, partnership. It's all about the final destination. And it's not what it's about at all. It's about the journey. It's about figuring it out. And whatever happens, it's like, you know, you again, like Mal said, you follow your gut every step of the way, whether it's tiny steps, you know, but there is no final destination. You know, even for me, it's like, there is no like, aha, you are lesbian or you are bi. Like, you don't get that clarity. It's about like the steps forward, and you just take the baby steps, and they can be very, very baby steps. Like, you can look up lesbian on Google, you know? Like, you can listen to Made It Out. Like, yeah. you can take these little steps. You don't have to jump to, like, okay, I'm going to go on a date with a woman if that's too much. Like, take the little steps.
But also, if you need the permission, me and Alex are here to give you the permission.
Yes, to experiment.
Because sometimes that's all you need is just someone to tell you it's normal and it's okay. Yeah. And it is celebrated. Even if it's not celebrated in your circle, we're celebrating
it. Look at us. Like, I would have never met you.
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't, yeah. Our whole entire lives as they are right now, everything, like, it wouldn't exist.
We met through our girlfriends, our best friends. And then me and Alex have just been, I mean, we're just like two peas in a pod.
So yeah. Beautiful.
This is my best friend.
Yeah.
And it, yeah.
A soul, deep soul connection. And like, you don't, you know, again, I like to keep it open where it's like anyone, even if they're straight watching this, is like, you know, you can have that too. It's about living your authentic truth, whatever that is, you know, and to be open to it. Again, experiment, take the baby steps, and, you know.
And if we take off the pressure and yes. the weight of labels and of like, do I have to figure myself out? I also think like when we go to an ice cream shop, you can try different flavors.
Yes. Mm.
You'll see if you like something or you're going to stick to the vanilla or to the chocolate that you've always had, which is fine.
Which is fine.
But since it doesn't have such a weight on your shoulders, you show up at the ice cream shop and you don't feel... That's, I think, what I would like to give not only myself, but our listeners, and not only in sexuality, but in life. Like, just get off your shoulders all that pressure that makes you think that these decisions are huge. They might be, and they might feel like that at some point. But if we're talking about the beginning and the gut feeling and the experimentation and the exploration, you can just try a little ice cream here and there, and you might never, ever go back to mint chocolate chip, you know? But then you just might like it and want to have that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And it is the truth, though. Like, we live in a society where words and labels are still important. So it's like, you know, to the idea of like, I just want to reject all that. Like, it sounds so beautiful, but it's not the world we live in. So it's kind of like, okay, while that's still the world we live in, it's like important to still give light to like, okay, like lesbian, like I don't really relate to it, but I'm going to say it because it's not a bad word. And it's, you know, what I identify as, I guess, now, because I'm really pretty exclusively dating
You're
women.
You're pretty lesbian.
Women. But like, you know, it is like a thing of like, oh yeah, people shouldn't have to come out, but yeah, they do have to, because it's the world we live in. So like, we still have to talk about these things, and we still have to, you know, like, be open about them. And it's important until, you know, in
until whatever year we don't have to have these conversations
exactly.
any longer,
which I think I believe the
name of your podcast eventually.
Yeah.
Girls, we appreciate so much both of you coming here today. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of messages that we'll share with you.
Answering questions to all the girls that are exploring and to do. We'll invite you guys and listen to some audios.
That would be so fun.
We'll give like some older sister vibe moment.
100%.
Perfect. Well, if you go into the description, there will be a link to say, this is our mailbox, and you can send your question about coming out, exploring with women, and then we'll have these two ladies again answering your questions.
That would be so fun.
Yeah, send your audios. Every Thursday, we listen to audios from our community, and we try to respond, but it's always me and Ash. It will be fun if you send your audios in English, and the four of us respond, or maybe just Alex and Mal, and we listen to the beautiful... to the beautiful lesbian world.
Or you translate for us.
Yo estoy lesbiana.
Lesbica.
Soy. Oh, yo soy lesbiana.
There we go. Girls, thank you so much. We'll give...
mucho gusto.
We'll leave all the information for Alex and Mal. Mal has a podcast with beautiful stories of people that made it out. And Alex has the best food videos in the universe and in the world. So we'll leave all their information in our newsletter. It's for free. And we'll also leave a link in this episode for that. Thank you so much. See you next Tuesday or Thursday. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.